I'm joined in studio right now by Dr. Sadovi. Dr. Sadovi went to Temple University's School of Medicine. After completing his residency at Carilion Roanoke Memorial, he joined a surgical practice serving the Lexington and Rock Ridge area. Dr. Sadovi is an experienced general surgeon in minimally invasive techniques and endoscopy procedures. His expertise includes diagnosis and care of patients with diseases and disorders affecting the abdomen and digestive tract, including appendicitis, hernias, gallbladder malfunctions, stomach and intestinal dysfunction, as well as breast and skin disorders. To quote Bass Community Hospital CEO Jeff Lingerfelt, he said this about Dr. Sadovi. He said, "His experience and expertise in patient-centric manner are an ideal match for our growing surgery team. Dr. Sadovi on board increases our patients' access to services, and he is keeping our promise to help provide a full range of top-quality hospital and outpatient services." It's got to feel pretty good hearing an endorsement like that from the boss.
That is nice. Thank you.
So, Dr. Sadovi, thank you for coming in. How are you doing today?
I'm doing fantastic. Everything is good, and the spiritual vibe in here is just perfect.
Well, that's awesome, man. Thank you so very much. I appreciate that. When did you know you wanted to become a doctor?
I did not know that I was going to be a doctor until after I knew that I did not want to be an engineer. I started out in engineering school and liked it in the beginning, but felt that my life needed a change. I did a little soul searching, and medicine has very much been my, it's been good for me. It's and hopefully good for my patients as well. It kind of suits my personality and my strengths. Well, so I've enjoyed the entire journey. It is a long road. Through medical school, well, undergrad medical school training, and then, you know, now 23 years of practice, but I've enjoyed every moment of it.
So you went into general surgery, you know, at some point, you know, you're whittling down your specialties. And how did you find yourself in general surgery? What attracted you? What brought you into that?
Well, once again, it was experience. I really thought that I was going to be a family practitioner or pediatrician, but when I did my surgical rotation, it struck me like a lightning bolt that this is truly what I wanted to do, and it's been a great decision for me.
So, you know, we think about folks and their different walks of life and what it takes to get through a work day, you know, for a general surgeon, and I know this is a question you really can't ask, but I've got to ask you, like, what does a typical day, if there's a such thing as a typical day, like, what does a typical day for you, how does that look and start?
Well, the day is divided into either clinic or, you know, surgical care. So on certain days, or a mix of these days, I'll see patients in the clinic. I'll try to diagnose their problem. They always come with a problem, and my job is to solve the problem. So depending on what they're bringing to me, we'll evaluate and then decide what course of treatment we need. And sometimes that involves surgery. In my practice, sometimes that'll involve endoscopy, either upper or, you know, colonoscopy. If somebody comes with a hernia, or, you know, that's pretty straightforward, we're going to talk about what our options are to fix those. So, yeah, it's a mix.
You kind of hit on it a little bit ago. Medical school and residency are sort of intentionally difficult in the sense that you kind of weed out some folks, or maybe, you know, push the top of the class forward. I've heard medical school described in the language of Charles Dickens as the best of times and the worst of times. Is there a story from your days that you can share with us that sort of encapsulates that? Or
first of all, to your first point, the selection process for medical school is very stringent. So believe it or not, about 90%+ of people that enter medical school finish medical school.
Oh, wow. That's amazing.
It's pre-selected. They select you because they really think that you're gonna make it through, and most do. The most difficult time, at least from my perspective, was surgical training, the residency program. It's 5 years. Wasn't always like this, but there were weeks where we had 110, 120 hour work weeks. And we figured out, you know, that minimum wage jobs would have paid a lot more for the time that we put in. There was a lot of sleep deprivation, a lot of stress, sometimes very, very busy services. And that was the most difficult part of it. I guess fortunately or unfortunately, after I graduated from the surgical training, they made rules that you could only work 80 hours a week. So that seemed like a better deal.
So if there's something that you could attribute to that training or to that residency or the path that you've taken, you know, what are some of the things that you feel have helped make you a better surgeon?
Well, I think the hard work, actually, it helps. You have to have a mindset, though. There was a trauma surgeon who was a mentor of mine. And as I finished medical school, he was one of the gurus. He was fantastic. He gave me some advice before going into residency. He said, residency's 5 years. And he said, my best advice to you is just give up. Give up now. Put everything on hold. And you can do anything for 5 years. And so that's kind of the mindset I went in. Whatever work that needed to be done, we would just get it done. It wasn't a question. We didn't whine and complain about it. Well, sometimes maybe. But it was just a matter of getting through, learning everything you could, and trying to perform under duress. Part of the, you know, lack of sleep, part of the, you know, choosing whether to eat a meal or get a, you know, 15 minutes of sleep, really did put you under duress and helps you in the future to perform under, you know, less than ideal circumstances.
If you're just joining us, the voice you just listened to was that of Dr. Sadovi. He is a general surgeon at Bath Community Hospital. He attended Temple University School of Medicine, and after completing his residency at Carilion Roanoke Memorial, joined a surgical practice serving the Lexington and Rockbridge area. So you got here in April of this year, correct?
Yes, I did.
So, you know, moving from the big city to somewhere like here.
The big city of Lexington.
The big city of Lexington to...
I've not heard it described that way. But I did go from small town to smaller rural area, which suits me perfectly.
So my next question in here was sort of, how do you relax? And now we had a conversation off air in which you talked about, you know, your sort of outdoors activities. You want to talk a little about your outdoors activities?
Well, I grew up small town. I live small town. And after, you know, a short stint in the big city of Philadelphia, I choose small town now. I do love outdoor activities. I like to hike. I like to hunt. When COVID started and it kind of shook up the world, it shook up my world a little bit as well. And I began doing a little bit more of the homesteading kind of thing and started raising some pigs and raising chickens, and I have bees now, which is you know, this huge learning process. I like to grow a garden. Yeah, I just like being in the outdoors. I like the rural. I like driving home and just seeing the trees in the mountains every day. It just brings me joy.
So, you know, you did some time in, you said, Philadelphia, and I can imagine that with, you know, such a faster pace of life and so much going on and crime and whatnot, that definitely was a much more intense time in your medical career.
Yes. It was a culture shock for me to go to Philadelphia. The biggest thing that I noticed is people's interactions in the rural communities. And people are typically very friendly, not so much in the urban areas, but I will will say that there were big advantages to training in the, well, this was medical school. Doing medical school in the big city is that there was lots to do, especially our surgical rotations, where we got the opportunity to take care of people that had trauma, right. You know, gun violence and stuff, that we could help them, and we really got thrust into some situations where, well, could help people quite a bit.
Sort of every day you're touching hand in hand with some people's, you know, worst moments, you know, catastrophe, the pain. How do you switch that off when you get home and you have to be, you know, a family man?
Well, yeah, that's the hard part of the job, because there is heartache when you're dealing with medical problems. Surgery, you know, no exception. Cancer is the thing that comes to mind the most when you have to talk to a family about those types of problems. I try to take an approach of, well, let's take the positives out of this and let's figure out how we're gonna beat this. You know, certain circumstances, you can't do that, but there's always optimism in just about everything that we do. It's hard to put it all away when you go home at night, but it's just something you kind of have to do. You have to compartmentalize. You still have kids to take care of. You still have a wife and a relationship to nurture. So you can't let it, you know, just totally sink you. But some days are better than others, that's for sure.
We think about the healthcare industry as a growth industry in the sense that there's always opportunities at every level. You know, how would you advise kids in Bath, Pocahontas, or Highland who may be interested in pursuing a career in medicine, whether it be as an MD or at any level of care?
I would just tell them, you know, to keep their minds open. Again, I didn't start out thinking that I was going to go in the medical field. I'm the first really in my family ever to do so. And engineering was my tract. I had to switch gears. I had to pivot. And again, I did a lot of self-assessment, and I had help along the way. I found out that, you know, I first of all could do the job, and that I had an interest in the job. And so once that was determined, it was just a matter of pursuing. So I would recommend to any kids, you know, try to figure out what it is that you want to do. A lot of kids just don't know, or they think they know. But keep an open mind, be able to pivot, and chase what it is that you want to chase.
And so what I'll do is I'll get you out of here on this, and I certainly appreciate your time, appreciate you coming in, sharing your insights. If you're just joining us, I'm joined in studio by Dr. Sadovi. He is a general surgeon at Bath Community Hospital. He's been giving us some insights into what it takes and what it's like to walk in those shoes every day. I would be irresponsible if I didn't ask you about the last 2.5 years, the pandemic, as a doctor, as a medical professional, someone on the front lines. Was there anything in your past that prepared you for this?
Nothing prepares you for it. No, it was a shock, and it was, I think, you know, my experience is like, you know, other people's experience. It kind of evolved, and you kind of, it got very political. You took one side or the other side. But for me, the first thing that I discovered in the early part, which was a shock to me, was that I was not busy. I was working in Rockbridge County, and nobody went to the emergency room all of a sudden. Nobody went to the hospital all of a sudden. We were asked to cancel all of our elective cases. We were only there for emergencies. And nobody was in the office. We were, in fact, asked to stay home. That's going back to my kind of pseudo homesteading experience. I was like, well, I've got to do something. I planted a garden and I started raising chickens and pigs. But eventually we got back into it, and we realized that we were going to pay a price. People that either couldn't get the care or held off or were afraid to get the care that they needed, you know, there is something to be said about preventive medicine. So the problems kind of exacerbated a little bit, not related to COVID, but just the problems that got delayed. That was the biggest thing that I saw with COVID. But I think as time has gone on, we've got a better handle on what the disease is and how it's evolving, and certainly doesn't seem to have the bite that it did in the early part, or what it was projected to be.
So what we're going to do now is we're going to hear a song, and I want to just thank you, Dr. Sadovi. You took your time out, came in here. You didn't have to do that, for sure. And I appreciate you for making the show better today. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you. Enjoyed doing it.